Do you feel like you don't have enough of God's presence in your life? At Tabernacle of David Worship Center, we are on a hot pursuit after the presence of God. Come and bathe in the river of the Lord that is proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. Our address is 9435 Washington Boulevard, Suites F and G, Laurel, Maryland 20723. You can reach us on the web at www.tabernacleofdavidwc.org.
Just a couple of weeks, by the grace of God, we'll see what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. And so the title of the series is 12 Cardinal Principles That Will Save Your Life. Hallelujah. 12 Cardinal Principles That Will Save Your Life. Hallelujah. It's beautiful. And I know we got to realize that as Christians, the Lord is made. He made us for a number of reasons. The primary reason is He made us in His image, after His likeness, for His own purpose. You know, and so there's all kind of purposes that of God, tiers of purposes that, you know, in God and of God that we're supposed to be pursuing here on earth. Often we go for the lowest purpose of God, and we don't pursue and attain unto the highest purposes of God. Now, it is wisdom to pursue the highest purposes of God. Hallelujah. And You know, part of the purpose of God is that in these last days, you know, this, we're the generation that so much has been committed to. The hosts of heaven look at us and they rejoice for us, because a lot of the things that they believe God for that they never saw in their lifetime, you and I are going to be privy to that. We're going to live it out. We're going to live it out. And they look at us and they're excited and they give God the glory. And so in our time, some of the, probably possibly the greatest, you know, pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets of all times are actually walking the earth now. And God Almighty is just working, you know, his purpose out in their lives to bring them to a place where they're revealed and released in the earth to bring in the final blow of God against the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. And so we're part of all that, and you know, we ask is to keep focused, you know, on that purpose and work with God. Now, you realize that in as much as that is the purpose of God for us also, Satan also has a plan. And part of Satan's strategy is to, you know, in tactical warfare, there are a number of things you can do to sort of wound your enemy or win a battle. Part of it is to fight head on, you know, pound for pound, flesh for flesh, as it is. And then sometimes also the way you can win the victory and have the upper hand is to just frustrate your enemy's purpose, so that at the end of the day, you know, he fights a useless battle. So if he's busy fighting useless battles all around, then, you know, by the time he finally gets to his senses that this really is a battle he's supposed to be fighting, he's already burnt out and tired. So it's a classic warfare strategy, and that seems to be one of the things that Satan uses against, you know, Christians. It's part of his end time plan against us. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, if you want to turn to that with me. As we're talking, our subject is 12 cardinal principles that will save your life, and I'll give us the principles, but I'm just giving us a bit of a background now. You know, so Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And it shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time." So you see there clearly part of Satan's strategy for the end times. You read the background to that particular scripture, and it's about, you know, Daniel had a series of visions about the end times, and it was made privy to Satan's strategy for the end times, as in wearing out the saints, you know. And it's a real thing, you know, because when you're worn out, you won't pursue, you know, God's purposes for your life. You know, you won't give yourself to the important things in life. You're just worn out and tired, and you take an anti-God stand sometimes, unfortunately. Hallelujah. But the Lord, as usual, has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And so we're being equipped so that we can deal with that. Hallelujah. You know, unfortunately, in as much as some of the greatest, you know, prophets and pastors and teachers and, you know, Christians and helpers and all kinds of ministers of all times are living now, you know, it looks like the church is not particularly gaining so much ground in that wise. You know, it looks like the whole thing seems to be winning and all that. And that is not what it should be. What it should be, really, the Bible tells in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, that what is expected is that the path of the righteous is like the light of a dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. See, so the path of the righteous, you and I, the kind of path, what is expected is that with every passing day, you know, our path should be getting brighter and brighter until that day when the Lord himself is fully revealed in us and to us. Hallelujah. And you and I will agree that it's not quite like that with us. Often it's back and forth, highs and lows. Often it's a journey down into the deep, and sometimes there's a staying in the deep for a while, you know. And there's a reason for that, you know, because when it's not like that, I mean, that the normal Christian life is really summed up in this Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 scripture, which means that with every passing day, with every encounter you have, your life is supposed to be getting better as God sees it. Hallelujah. And if that is not happening, then, you know, if our ministry is not getting any brighter and brighter, if our Christian lives are not being enhanced, you know, you're not growing in the Lord. You know, by now, you're a certain knowledge about God and of God should be at play in your life. which will translate into a certain type of walk also with him. And if that is not happening, usually it's because we've departed from the right path. That path of, you know, the light, like, which is likened unto the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter. You know, when you wake up, you know, around about 2-3 a.m., it's usually kind of dark around, but a bit of, you know, the sun rising, beginning, and all that. You see, but as time passes, you realize that it gets brighter and brighter and clearer till it's total daylight, where no darkness exists at all. And that is the model for us as Christians. That is a model for us as a church, as in the body of Christ, and for any church and ministry as it is. Now, if it's not becoming like that, it means that we are possibly going off course and departing from that right path. Hallelujah. And you'll come to realize as we go through these principles that some of the departures, the cardinal underlying reason is because we violated these 12 principles that we're going to talk about. Hallelujah. And so that should kind of spell out the importance of these 12 principles to us, you know, that if we follow through with them and we'll stay on the right path, and of course, we would, our lives will be the model Christian life. Isn't that so? It means that your yesterday will not be quite, your yesterday will pale in comparison with your today and your tomorrow. Hallelujah. It means the amount of revelation you're going to move in today is going to be wilder than that which you moved in yesterday. And that for tomorrow also is going to be more powerful than what you've ever moved in. Hallelujah. Isn't that so? All right, so a number of things, you know, we got to look in, you know, into and all that. But you got to keep in mind that behind all this, Satan's cardinal strategy is to wear us out. In wearing us out, he has a number of things at play to use against us. Hallelujah. All right, so first principle, I guess I can start with that, and we'll just pick and choose as we go along. You know, we got to keep in mind that the Lord himself is a model for New Testament ministry. What it means is that as we set out to, you know, to serve the Lord, Jesus is the prototype that we got to keep in mind, how the Lord flowed in ministry. You see, and you got to realize that the Lord was not, you know, as we go through these principles and stuff, you come to realize that one of the wrong conclusions anyone could come to is that they are anti-people. You see, but that is not true. Rather, the opposite is what is true. You see, and you realize that the Lord Jesus did not commit himself to doing what people wanted, per se. Because if he had done that, he would have been worn out. If he had done that, he wouldn't have had time to pray and talk to the Father. If you remember, when they came to make him a king, Jesus fled to the mountains to talk to his Father. Now, for us Christians today, you know, that is not quite what we do. All you need is just a little sense of somebody wanting to do something for you, and we'll run, you know, speedily and to embrace whatever it is. But that was not the Lord's model. So behind all this, as we go through all this, you got to keep in mind that Jesus is our model minister in, as far as New Testament ministry is concerned. Hallelujah. Amen. So the next time somebody comes knocking on your door and says, oh, look, I want to make you a prophet, for instance, or I want to make you a bishop, for instance, you got to think twice about it. And remember that Jesus, when he came to make him a king, he fled to the mountains. The Lord emphasizes a relationship. Satan knows that you and I can get compromised even in the works we do if we don't have the relationship thing right. So sometimes the way he works you out is to get you to be given to works and works and works and works and works, which at the end of the day, there will be no glory in it. You know? It may get you deceived in the thing that, oh, if you die doing so much, for instance, you know, it will be seen as you martyrdom and you get glory in it. But the Lord will not see that as martyrdom. You see it as suicide, rather. Hallelujah. And so we got to keep that in mind and learn to flow as the Lord flowed. You know, when the Lord went to the pool of Bethesda, for instance, there were now people that were sick there. You know, if it was you and I, you would come, you have an unction, there's dunamis power on you to flow powerfully. You would want to heal everyone that's there. You want to pray for everyone that's there. But Jesus was committed to doing that which he saw the Father do. And that is very imperative. Because part of the things that wears us out as ministers, as Christians, as leaders often, is because we go around trying to do everything. a lot of which the Lord is not even doing. You see, we got to get to a place where you learn to see and to hear and to know what God is doing, so you would give yourself to it. The Lord blesses a number of things, but he doesn't inhabit everything. So if the thing has a certain force, it's doing well, for instance, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is in it. And we follow just because we think that and then sometimes you get into a place where people have all kinds of courses that they want you even to pursue. They want you to join to pursue that course, you know. And again, you got to realize that you don't take instructions from man, but you take instructions from the Lord himself. Hallelujah. Because if you don't learn that discipline, we would find that we would stray from that path. We're in God, trying to walk with God and serve God, but you are tired and worn out all the time. And you find out after the fact that the most important things you were called to do, even your purpose, you never even got to it because you were busy doing a lot of other things. Hallelujah. It is a wild thing. See, serving the Lord is a tree of life. Serving the Lord is supposed to be invigorating. It's not supposed to really wear you out. It's supposed to bring more energy with it each passing day and all that. You see, but because of what we often make what, you know, we make serving the Lord into, which is rather to fix problems, for instance, we end up getting so tired. People die prematurely. Do you know that even insurance companies have labeled pastors as high risk for death? And so if you try to get life insurance, for instance, your premium as a pastor, if you put it down as a pastor, will be higher than other people. Because pastoring is not easy. You know, and what we make pastoring out to be becomes even more difficult, because a lot of it is fixing problems instead of seeing what the Lord is doing and just doing exactly that. Are you guys with me? Is it a real message you're listening to? Hallelujah. If you are out to serve the needs of people, it will kill you prematurely. And like I was saying, the Lord will not consider it as martyrdom. You'll see it as suicide, for which there's no glory. Hallelujah. You want to be careful about people's causes that you acquire and you champion and you run wild with it, you know, because often it will be at the expense of more crucial and critical things in your life. And then when also there's a leading from God that this is what we're supposed to be doing, also you want to be mindful of that, to give yourself to it. But often we would have spent our lives doing so many other things so elsewhere, that when the Lord's leading is given, there's not much energy or energy or oomph to follow through with that. But that's got to change, because we want to see on that path that shines brighter and brighter. Isn't that so? Yes. We want to be like that light of dawn. And so the first principle, I can see you're ready. You want a first principle. The first principle is that you are not the savior of the world. You are not the savior of the world. Neither am I the savior of the world. There's only one savior. There's only one that died to save mankind. And he's died already, by the way. You cannot reinvent the wheel. There's nothing that you can add to it. His work was absolutely perfect. There's nothing else that anyone can add to it. Jesus' work on Calvary's cross. The atonement package is beautiful. It's complete. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are complete. We're made complete in Christ. Complete means replete. It means it is all sufficient. It means it is finished. It means you cannot add a single thing to it to make it any more beautiful. All the beauty that there ever could be, as far as that thing is concerned, has already been added to it. So why do we run around often trying to act like we're the saviors of people? Are you here? I thought you would say amen at that, but you know, we didn't know that. Why do we often feel that we should do more than Jesus did? If when he said greater works, he said, you know, the John 14:12, it was never meant to be that you would do more than Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because by the way, who does the works? Even the works that you do, who's really behind it? It is him. Because very verily I say unto you that he that believe in me, you know, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. You gotta say, so the governing thing there is that I go unto the Father. I'm going to still be doing these works, but guess what? You have the privilege of being the ones that I'll do these works through. So an idea and intention was never that we should outdo Jesus. You cannot outdo the Lord, by the way. You know, but often we feel and when we act like we want to do more than Jesus did. You know, we want to heal more people than Jesus healed. We want to provide the needs of people, you know, more than Jesus did. We want to provide the needs of everyone. I mean, even your own needs. How much of it have you been able to provide? How much more everyone's need? Hallelujah. You do not have to kill yourself to minister to every possible need. Got to remember that someone has already died for them. Paul was very wise when he says, I can do all things. You see, but it says, through Christ, which strengthened me. Christ that has died, who's omnipotent and all-powerful and all-sufficient, he strengthens me. He strengthens me, and I can do all things. Hallelujah. The Lord has died for everyone already. You see, and you got to see ministry for what it is. You got to see your work. You got to realize that, look, it is first and foremost, you know, the Mary thing before the Martha thing comes in. You see, but part of Satan's way of frustrating us is to get us to pursue the Martha thing at the expense of a Mary type of relationship. He came to make Jesus a king. He fled to the mountains to talk to his father. You know, a great while before the scripture says that he would flee to the mountains and talk to his father. There was once he was having a revival, you know, and miracles were happening powerfully. People were getting healed and all that. And you would think that Jesus would stay his course and stay there and keep doing what the people wanted to do and the needs of the people. But he said, he told his disciples, oh, it's okay. Now, let's go to the next town because I'm called to preach to them also. What he saw the Father doing was like, yeah, it's okay. We've done this with it. Now let's go next door and do some works there. Hallelujah. And we need to get that thing right, else we would end up doing a whole, see, I think one of the most painful things, you know, that would happen is, you know, ultimately when we make it, you know, make it to heaven and you appear before the Lord thinking that you've done so much before the Lord and that it should count, and the Lord will tell you that, look, you know, Matthew chapter 7 to, you know, 21, 22 thing, that look, I don't know you. It'll be a very painful thing. We all want to hear, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what I'm saying? Because that one, the things you did with him, he was part of it. He says, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I know you not. It wasn't that you didn't do those things. You did a whole lot of things, but I wasn't in them. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to keep in mind. So anything that takes away from you spending time with God, you got to be very careful about that. No matter how justified it is, no matter how worthy a cause it may be, if it takes away from time, your time with God, you gotta look at it carefully. And sometimes that's how Satan will get you messed up. So you get so tired and worn out, having done everything else but pray. Because he knows the power of prayer. He knows that when you begin to pray, that which God wants to do, God will reveal it to you. And once you speak it into being, it is as if God Almighty himself spoke it into being, and it will happen. And so let me get these guys running around doing everything else but spend time with God and pray. So we're saying that when our lives are not getting as enhanced, it's not like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter unto the full day. It is because we've departed from that light. The reason for departure is that we violated some of these principles as in trying to be the savior of the world. You know what I'm saying? There are some people, the sheep that you would pastor, there's some of them that are high maintenance. As in, they're very demanding. There are some of them that are very demanding. Some of them that, at the end of the day, they won't even do what you tell them. You see, but they are experts at wooing you and getting your attention such that you're focused on them all the time, trying to solve problems. You know, you see, a problem that somebody hasn't stepped out to do anything about it by himself, I mean, you're deceived to think if you thought that you could solve that problem, you know, within a short while. Often when they have not stepped out to do anything about the problem themselves, I mean, you won't be able to break through. And you got to know that up front. So you work with them strategically. Hallelujah. There's a lot for us to do as far as working for God and serving God. And so you don't want to get to a place of being burned out. That's why we're learning these things. Hallelujah. And all that. Yeah, there's a place for serving God. The people of God are great. You need to treat them you know, God's people with all dignity and all that. The sheep, they're powerful people. We respect them. You see, but it must be clear that we do not take instructions from God's people. We take instructions from God. You see, so as a leader, it has to be very clear, because people will come up and say, oh, let's do, why don't we do this? Why don't we try that? Why don't we hook up with this? But when we started this church, for instance, this ministry, for instance, I mean, people were trying to pull me into all kinds of things. You know, I say, now tell, I say, no, when the Lord does it, we will do it. Now I will tell them, some people didn't like it. You got to realize, for as long as you really don't follow through with what God wants you to do also, you always have people, there's one, two people around you. Always have people with issues around, you know. It's okay. You look through the Bible, everyone that obeyed God and what did what God wanted to do, they had problems. They had disgruntled people around them. Jesus had a lot of disgruntled people around him. I am saying, I heard Regina talk about how, I mean, an amazing number of people, disgruntled people around him. You would think that somebody like Regina, but it's because he follows through with what God wants him to do. He says people will tell him to try to champion. I mean, he says virtually every week or so, he gets some leader or somebody from somewhere trying to get him into his issue, you know. Some of these are his friends, and he feels like he has to help them. But one thing he's learned is that unless the Lord has asked him to, he ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. And we need to learn that, because look, there are many, scripture tells us there are many voices in this world. There are, as it were, many voices in this world. There's a, none of them is without signification. There are a lot of significant voices that you're going to be hearing all the time. The voice of a sheep, the voice of your spouse, your own voice of your pastor, the voice of Pharaoh, the voice of Satan. I mean, all manner of voices, of course, the voice of God, you know. And our challenge is being able to hear that still small voice of the Spirit of God far above all the clamor of the world. If we don't learn that thing well, you would hear every other voice, but you won't hear that still small voice, and you'll be running around doing all kinds of things, building up castles and palaces and kingdoms for yourself, thinking that you've done God a favor. And then you find out in a very painful way, unfortunately, someday, that he was not in it. That all that he wanted you to do was to spend time with him. If only he had spent time with him, he would have shown you what, just shown you a whole lot more things. You know, people he wanted you to pray for and all kinds of things. Hallelujah. So we're saying that we are not the savior of the world. None of us really qualifies to be the savior of the world. You know what I'm saying? Because for you to be a savior of the world, there's the whole qualifications. Last I checked, I am very far from those qualifications. And last I checked, you're also very far from those qualifications. And that's so. The Lord has already died for them, and you have no place running around trying to do all those things. Remember carefully the Mary and Martha story. You know, the Lord said, look, he said to Martha, look, Martha, you're careful about a lot of things, you know, but really one thing is needful. One thing is needful. At the end of the day, one, you see, the person that was translated into heaven as a type of the type, the kind of work that we're called to have with God, there's not much that is said about works about him in the scripture. It's all about his relationship with God. Enoch is the one I'm talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? He had such a great love for God that he would rather be with God than be eating. He'd rather be with God and talking to the Lord than sleep. He'd rather be talking to the Lord than to be hanging out with his buddies. He'd rather be with the Lord than to be solving someone else's problems. Because really, you're limited in solving. I mean, the people that you try to solve their problems, did you, were you able to solve it? And I mean, since then, they haven't come up with any other problems for you to solve? At the end of the day, you end up even losing them. You see what I'm saying? Like, I was cautioning now. So what I'm talking about is not an anti-people thing. No, it's just rather leading people well. Teaching people and raising them up well. Leading people properly. It's not an anti-people thing at all. Hallelujah. If you would be careful to relate with the Lord will show you what is the most pertinent need in a person's life. And when you would do that, and the person will be better off than you spending months trying to fix what you thought was a problem in the person's life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to remember that friendship is always far superior to works as far as God is concerned. And if anything would take away from your friendship with God, even if it's a worthy work that needs to be done, you want to be very careful about that. Hallelujah. You know, we talk about this spiritual ecclesia thing. you know, akathisia is a medical condition where you can't just remain still. You feel like you must always be on the move. You feel like you must always be on the move. So even when you ought to be still, to know that He is God, you're always on the move. You think you got to run. All you need to do is just hear about a certain friend of yours who has a certain course, and you champion it. You put it on. Oh, I must talk. You see yourself as a crusader, and you want to solve everyone else's problems. So you're running around trying to do this, and out of a good heart, really, out of a good heart. And some of the courses are worthy, but you run around doing all these. And when you're done, you're so tired and spent out that you can't even pray. You get home and you hit your bed, you're asleep. Then you wake up in the morning, but by the time you're waking up, the next person's course is popped up. So you will spend a great deal of your life fixing. You probably need a pop-up blocker, yeah. You know, fixing people's problems, and you don't get to pray. You don't get to spend time with your own family. You don't get to spend time with God. And your purpose in this life is not pursued, because you're pursuing other things. Hallelujah. So spiritual akathisia is that condition where you feel like you must be around or not. Sometimes people go, and you know, there's a number of sides to it. Sometimes there's a secondary gain for some of these people. You see, because the more they do these things, there's something, secondary gain they derive from it. Sometimes people will even get to control and manipulate people based on that, because yeah, they run around and solving problems and all that. So they're seen as the ones that solve those problems. And it gives them a certain edge over those people. You see, but let's not even get into the witchcraft part of all that. Hallelujah. Yours is to remember that. Your walk with God is paramount. First and foremost, everything else must be pursued in that context if you have other pursuits. Hallelujah. The Lord must be at the core and center of your pursuits. Amen. We're not the saviors of the world. Bottom line, you can't save anyone, and you can't save everyone, by the way. In fact, even yourself, somebody had to save you. Ain't that so? Yeah. And remember that Jesus, let me just give you some scriptures. John 5:19-21. So John 5:1-9 is Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. It's a classic example, you know, that people, a lot of sick people, and you have the oil of God upon your life. What would you do? You have the anointing upon you. You have the healing anointing that you get to a place and the power of God will come upon people and people will get healed and all that. A lot of people, you would see it as the fact that there's a lot of sick people and you have the healing anointing means that you must go to work right away. A lot of people will not stop short and inquire of the Lord. What is the Lord doing about this? Does He know it? Oh yeah, He knows. He knows everything that goes on. He made the world. Yeah, He gave the earth to us to tend it, but He still knows what goes on here. Every single thing. Hallelujah. And He requires us to be constantly seeking Him. Constantly seeking Him, you know, and we're trying to find out what is He doing about this. And then you cooperate with Him. See, that's when you get the greatest success. You find out what God is doing, you give yourself to it. Or work out. Hallelujah. The Lord did not just suddenly take off His cloak or mantle and be swirling around and just throwing around on people. And no, just one person. There was one guy that had been sitting by the pool for so long. That's what he saw, and healed him, and that's it. Hallelujah. So we got to keep that in mind. In John 5:19-21, he says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." Says, look, I have the oil, I have the unction and all that, but it's not a matter of having oil and unction. It's a matter of what I see my Father do, and I do exactly that. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord was vibrant all the time. because he would not waste his time trying to fix every problem. Mankind always has a need, and will always have a need till the Lord comes back to establish his kingdom here on earth. We will always have a need. So if you make ministry as a need-oriented thing, then you're going to get tired. You're going to get tired and not do much. John 5:41, he says, I receive not honor from men. John 5:44, he says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You see, the Lord's focus was on pleasing the Father. Period. It's pleasing the Father. See what the Father is doing. Give yourself to it. See, a lot of things that are lawful, the scripture says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. What it means is that you have a number of worthy causes, but not every worthy cause is expedient to give yourself to. You have a number of things that are lawful and legal for you to do, but not every one of them is expedient for yourself to give to. How do you tell the expedient from the not expedient? You're going to have to talk to the Lord. I think the best definition of expedient is in the context of what God is doing. That's what makes it expedient or not. Are you still here? Sounds like a hard message. From the look on your faces. From the look on your faces, isn't that so? We're talking about 12 principles that will save your life. If we would get these right, would learn, would see Jesus' model and follow his model in ministry, I mean, we'll have good results. Hallelujah. And the goal is to not get burnt out, because there's a lot of work for you to do. There's a lot for you to do in the kingdom. You haven't fulfilled your purpose yet. In fact, you're beginning to find your purpose. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you're now beginning to find your purpose and you're already worn out, and it means you won't do much about your purpose having found it. And keep in mind that we, the scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They are planning, strategic, multi-tier planning about you to get you tired. The Daniel 7:25 scripture says that, so part of it says that he would Satan to tire out the people of God, to wear them out. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh just can't do much, because you're all so worn out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those on my right, are you hearing me? Very powerful. Principle number 2. The Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. The Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, and so in life, everyone bears a yoke at some point in time. We're all bearing yokes. The question is, whose yoke you're bearing? There are people that are bearing financial yokes because they bought into some business idea at some point in time and they're dealing with the consequences. You know, the people that are bearing yokes from just going to school, you know, is a tiring thing. You know what I'm saying? You have to spend time, assignments and quizzes and whatever here and there, you know. So we all bear yokes at some point in time. Everyone bears a yoke. The question is, which yoke are you bearing? And I'm telling you, the second cardinal principle that will save your life is to pursue the yoke of Christ, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What it means is that really what would make you successful in life, what would make things work out for you in life, is to bear the Lord's yoke rather than any other yokes. And to bear his yoke, you're going to have to exchange the yoke you're bearing now for his yoke. Because you're yoked somehow. You're yoked already. And to be able to bear his yoke, you're going to have to exchange your yoke for his yoke. The yoke we're bearing now is laborious. It's burdensome. It's a lot of labor, toiling. And Satan is happy about it, because he knows that his wearing is out. You know what I'm saying? You spend your day. How many times do we spend in church? How many hours do we spend in church? Not much. Every week, and we don't even spend quite 10 hours in church. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't spend that much in church. And then also, I mean, how much, what's your prayer life? I mean, how many hours do you spend talking to your Lord? We don't spend that much time, you know. So the bulk of our days and the hours of our days and our lives is spent elsewhere. So that's what tells the real yoke you're bearing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what tells the real yoke you're bearing. And we're saying that, look, for you to stay on that path, the Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shineth brighter and brighter until the day dawns, or the full day. For us to remain on that path, we're going to have to exchange our yoke for the Lord's yoke. Because this yoke is easy. It's burning, it's light. Matthew chapter 11, let's read Matthew chapter 11. I think we'll probably catch it up from 24, thereabout. Matthew 11 or 25. And get the background to all this as the Lord is making that statement. You know, Matthew chapter 11, 25 says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Thank God for babes. Hallelujah. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It is always good in God's sight to reveal things to the humble. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Now, when the Lord was, you know, speaking all this, he had already sort of affirmed John the Baptist's ministry. You know, the kind of great minister he was, and of all that were born of women, there was none as great as John the Baptist. Howbeit, the least in the kingdom was greater than John the Baptist. And he went about and talked about, you know, all those cities who had been given so much and yet had not done much with it. You know, so one to you, Chorazin, one to you, Bethsaida, and the works that were done in you, if they were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in ashes. Then he dealt with Capernaum also about their pride and all that, you see. And then the Lord says that, he says that, look, everyone in life is doing something. You're about some labor of a sort, and you're laboring, you know, and you're heavily laden with all kinds of things. And there's a way to really lessen all that. You see, look, just take my yoke upon you. You know what I'm saying? And he throws and says, I thank you, Lord, that you reveal this to those who are not proud and know it all, you know, but the humble people. What we're talking about, you could very easily just write it off as, oh yeah, no, I mean, hey, get real, this is life that we live in, you know, and we got to live our lives. It's true, you see, but there's a way to live your life. The one that gave you the life has a way to live that life. And his way is that you exchange your yoke for his yoke, because his yoke is easy. See, what he's talking about, the yoke there is, you know, the historical background to all that is that, you know, where farmers would have, who have a, you know, piece of land that they wanted to plow, they would have two oxen put together. And the yoke was something like, you have two bars, you know, like two logs, pieces of log that are tied together in a certain way, so that those two oxen are tied together to the point that they move in tandem, they move together. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way you can have one ox moving this way and the other ox moving the other way. It's like, look, they move together. If it's, you're going forward, they're all moving forward and plowing forward. You know, they move, plowing to the right, they're plowing to the right, left, they do it together like that. That's the kind of thing that's talked about. The Lord is saying that you need to be yoked to him in that sense. As your life given over to him, you follow, you being tightly connected to him, and you're so into God and working with him that the way he goes is the way you go. And where he doesn't go is where you also don't go. He says, if you have it like that, things will work out for you. Because in him, you will find rest. At the end of the day, what we're all looking for is rest. Ain't that so? That's all what, look, all the people that are killing themselves in, bearing all kinds of yokes in, at the end of the day, that rest is what they're looking for. They may call it retiring well, but it is rest they are looking for. They call it the good life, the American dream, but it is rest they're looking for. And he says, in me, you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. And you're going to have to exchange, because if you're already bearing a certain yoke, that yoke you're bearing is already dragging you in a certain direction. Now, for you to be able to flow in the Lord's direction, you're going to have to give up that yoke and take on his yoke. Because who you're yoked to really depicts the direction in which your life goes. Okay. Whatever you're yoked to depicts the direction in which your life goes. And if you want your life to go in the direction of the Lord and what the Lord has planned for his purpose, his plans for you to fulfill your purpose in this life, you're going to have to get yoked to the Lord. You're going to have to lose that yoke you're bearing now. Isn't that so? Yeah, the zygos you're bearing now must go. The Greek word for yoke is zygos, by the way. The zygos, you're going to have to lose a zygos that you're bearing now. Hallelujah. Now, if you decide to take on the Lord's yoke also, then you must realize that you don't put on a yoke and then go to bed. Are you here? You didn't miss that. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord, he knows that what we're all looking for is rest. He says, you've been laboring around, you're heavy laden. People have given you all kinds of burdens to bear, all in the hope of you coming to rest. But the truth of the matter is that you will never come to rest so long as you're bearing that burden. So let me tell you, the easier way is this. And by the way, it's only the humble, only babes that would see the wisdom in this and work with it. That you got to exchange your yoke for him. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I'm saying that you don't put on a yoke and go to bed. What do you put on a yoke for? You put on a yoke to go to work. We're talking about 12 cardinal principles that will save your life. We said the first principle is that you're not the savior of the world. And we're saying the second principle is that the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. And in him, you will find rest for your souls. We say you put on a yoke, you do not go to bed. You know, have you guys slept last night with yokes around? No. Your necks. It's when you wake up, then you put on a yoke and you go to wherever you work. And you go and work there, isn't that so? Yeah, and they suck the juice out of you sometimes. You see, so far, in that context, from that perspective, if we are doing the work of the Lord, really, the yoke will be easy to carry. Because the Lord says, look, let's get this right. He says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know that you put on a yoke, you go to work. So if you take on a large yoke and you really begin, you go to work and all that, I mean, it'll be easy for you to bear that yoke. We try to do the Lord's work without bearing his yoke. That's one of the causes of our frustration in ministry. Trying to serve the Lord without bearing the yoke of the Lord. We bring whatever yokes we're bearing from elsewhere into serving the Lord together with it. It causes frustrations. He says, take my yoke upon me. We're saying that for us to take his yoke, we got to lose the yoke. You see, you cannot begin to flow in the resurrection life of Christ until you've died. The Lord himself, for him to, his resurrection life to be, he had to die. Without it dying, and by that, I'm not talking about you physically dying, as in somebody shooting you or not. I'm talking about you dying, as in you being abandoned to the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? You losing your self-will, your self-will dying and being exchanged for the will of God. Without that, you cannot really partake of the Lord's resurrection life. Without giving up the yoke you're bearing now, you can't bear his yoke. Because you're already tied up. Your neck is really only that big. You know what I'm saying? There's only so much space for you to bear the yoke. Hallelujah. But if we would take on his yoke aright, really, and go to work, you realize that the ministry is one of the greatest things that would ever happen to you. You realize that the best thing, that the greatest quest in life is really working with God. You realize that that's the most exciting thing. You realize that you would live longer working with God than not. We have biblical examples. The guy who walked with God very close and loved the Lord, he didn't even die. He was taken to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Moses, at the age of 120, a guy's natural forces were not abated. His vision was not dim. You know what I'm saying? Moses was like a teenager by the time the Lord was taking him. In fact, he just wouldn't die. The Lord had to literally just, you know, pull him out. And he says the Lord came to bury him. Hallelujah. And so you would, things would be much better, I tell you, if we would give ourselves to really pursuing the Lord, taking on his yoke, you know, rather than some other yoke and try to work. And you can't work, you just can't come and work in the kingdom of God with another person's yoke. That's why we're frustrated. You see, we're not totally yielded to the Lord. We're not totally abandoned to the Lord. We're not constantly seeking, what is he doing? We come with whatever experience we think we have from elsewhere, with yokes around our necks, and we come to a field to try and plow. Meanwhile, for as long as those yokes are still there, because remember that whatever you're yoked to determines the direction of your life. And so you're on the field, all right, trying to plow the ministry field, but you're yoked to something else, and that yoke is driving you away and putting you away in a different direction when you ought to be following the Lord in the direction that he's moving. The Lord help us. Hallelujah. I'm not getting any more amens. It's very powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. It's great. The Lord has promised you a refreshing. And a refreshing of your soul if you would take his yoke upon you. I pray that you would do exactly that. Hallelujah. And it'll be a great blessing. Be refreshed. The third one, let me give you a third one. It said a preacher often has 3 points, so let me give you a third one. At 12, we'll stop at 3 today. Third one is that the people's yoke is hard and their burden heavy. Remember, we said the second one is that the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. The third principle is really like a contrast, you know, of the second principle, which is the people's yoke, quite unlike the Lord's yoke, is hard and their burden is heavy. That's why it's not prudent to take the people's yoke instead of the Lord's yoke. So now I brought it down to ministry, the people that you're leading, you know, people that God has given you to pastor, shepherd. You know, your cell group, you've been given a position and all that. You got to keep in mind that the yoke of a people is very hard. Their burden is heavy. The way to be able to pastor these ones is not to take on their yokes. Sometimes we get funny into thinking that. But sometimes we even act like we are the people's representative to God instead of God's representative to the people. When people are given, you know, what to do in the ministry, they champion the causes of a people so much that sometimes they begin to act like they are rather the people's representative to the pastor who sent them out. You know, instead of the vice versa. It ought not be so. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because the yoke of the people is heavy. And you must resist the yoke of human expectations at all levels if you're going to survive. Is if your life is expectation oriented, then you're going to be of all men the most pitied, because people are never satisfied. If your life is about pleasing people, more the Lord said, he said, you know, John 5:41, he says, I receive not my honor from men. In fact, verse 44 of John chapter 5, he says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor which cometh from God only? Instead of the Lord, the Lord, knowing what was in the heart of men, did not commit his heart to men. If your life is about pleasing people, no. Because you guys, the same people that were saying, you see, at his triumphal entry, the same people that were shouting, Hosanna, 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 just 5 days later, were the same people shouting, crucify him. 5 days, Jeff. Just 5 days. How does it happen that at one point in time they're shouting hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest? They're putting their clothes on the street for people to walk on, you know, and the Lord comes in triumphantly. And then within 5 days, the song had changed. It was now crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The same Peter that gave that revelation from heaven that the Lord commended him for in Matthew chapter 16. He said, flesh and blood had not revealed this to you. This one I know that it's come straight from the throne of God in heaven. A few verses later, that same Peter was the one saying that, no, Lord, you can't go to Jerusalem. You cannot go and die. Stop talking like that. He had become anti purposes of God. So if your life is about pleasing people, expectations, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be burnt out easily. Unfortunately, pastors, shepherds, leaders who take on the yokes of people as opposed to the yoke of God, you get burnt out. So I was telling that insurance company, there's a premium. Well, if you put down a pastor, that's high risk. Because they know people's issues are heavy, their burdens are heavy, their jokes are hard. And pastors get frustrated. Often pastors become casualties of war. Not because they are doing anything bad. No. But because of a burden that they've taken on the people's burdens rather than the Lord's burden. And then two, because there's not much intercession for them. There's not much. People don't pray for. But they think, oh, you're up there. Oh, he's preaching, praying. Oh, he's okay. Man. So he prays a lot. Okay, it's okay. No. You know what I'm saying? There's not much prayer being. Everyone needs a covering. And so they become casualties of war. Hallelujah. We're talking about, as a wrap up, we're talking about 12 principles that would save your life. Talking about the path that the Lord has put us on. Christians, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says the path of a righteous is, or the path of a just is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day or unto the full day. What it means is that with every passing day, our lives are supposed to be getting better. With every passing day, your prayer life is supposed to be getting better. I get one. So you must be enjoying your prayer life more and more with every passing day. Not you know, retrogressing. Often we retrogress because there was a certain time of revival, a certain conference. You were charged up and had a great time in prayer. Then shortly after the conference, you started dwindling down, and now it's almost zero. Unless the church comes up and says we're fasting and praying, there's not much prayer going on. For us to be able to stay on that path where everything gets better and better as you go along, your knowledge of God, knowledge about God, your walk with God, knowledge of Scripture, and all that is increasing and getting better and better and all that. We're going to have to get our perspectives right and get our act together. The primary thing is the Lord. It all begins with the Lord, and it must end with the Lord also. And begin to focus on God and focus on your walk with God and give yourself to it, you know, and realize that at the end of the day, it's not a matter of how much you did. It's really what you did with him is what matters. Hallelujah. We'll find out either in a pleasant way or an unpleasant way someday whether what we did mattered or not. And the yardstick is not really the magnitude of the works. The yardstick is really the Lord himself being part of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. And so the three principles, I said 12 principles that will save your soul. We just looked at three. The first one was what? That you are not the savior of the world. It's not your place to run around trying to save everyone. Somebody's already died for them. The Lord has already died for them. You know what I'm saying? And you must see Satan's hand in there to try and frustrate you by getting you to attend to everyone's business, championing everyone's cause. You know what I'm saying? You cannot heal everyone. The Lord even did not heal everyone. There were instances that, yeah, you say, oh, the power of the Lord was there to heal, and he healed all the sick and all. That's what he saw the Father doing. The emphasis is on seeing what God is doing and you giving yourself to it. And principle number two, we said that the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's a yoke we want to bear. You cannot serve God with another yoke on. You got to have his yoke on to be able to serve him aright. And the third principle we said is that the people's yoke is hard and their burden is heavy. And for that reason, you do not want to take on the people's yoke. Rather, you want to have the Lord's yoke. Again, if you want to serve him aright, have his yoke. Hallelujah. And we said the number one cause of burnout in ministry and the discouragement that can lead to a fall is almost always the result of taking the people's yokes instead of the Lord's yoke. We must resist the yoke of human expectations if we are going to survive. Do not build your life around what people expect you to do. Build it around what God requires of you and what you see God doing in your life. Hallelujah. And by that, I'm not saying that be disobedient around and just be independent and just doing your own thing also. No, when God is giving a leading, that this is where you're part of a body, and God is giving a leading, that this is what we're doing, you give yourself to it and you flow with it. Hallelujah. You don't say, hide with myself. As for me, this is what the Lord hasn't said me personally, I should be doing this. So you know, that's independence and disobedience and disrespect. Hallelujah. If a lead, Lord gives a leading, because you're part of a body, he says, this is how we're moving, this is the direction we're moving on. We all give ourselves. We were fasting 21 days. During the 21 day fast, the goal is to have 5 hours a day of prayer. 5 hours a day of prayer. And we're going to do it such that, you know, after between hours of midnight and 6 a.m., we'll have two groups of people praying. Some will be praying from midnight till 3 a.m., others will pray from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's 3 hours, and in the course of a day, you can make up your other 2 hours to make it 5 hours a day. Now, that is the leading that the church is going, you know. So, and so it's not prudent of you to say, oh, ask for me. The Lord hasn't really revealed to me that this is how I should do the prayer. So I'm not going to do, I'm going to do mine this way. And I, no, that's totally independent and totally disrespectful and totally disobedient. Hallelujah. The leading is that this is how we're doing it. We all give ourselves to it and we flow with it and we pray. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord as you rise to your feet. Amen. Begin to talk to the Lord your God. Begin to talk to the Lord your God. Pray. You've heard about 12 principles that would save your life. Heard about the path of the righteous. You heard so much about how the Lord has put us on this path, and expectation is that things get better and better along the way, and how Satan frustrates us. It's how his strategy is to get you worn out and burnt out in ministry. Now yours is to overcome burnout in ministry by flowing in these principles. Why don't you just talk to the Lord your God? You heard about bearing his yoke. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You heard about how the people's yoke, on the contrary, is hard and their burden is heavy. You want to trade your yoke for Christ's yoke. Without bearing the Lord's yoke, there's no way you can serve him aright. Because see, what determines the direction of your life is what or whoever you're yoked to. Why don't you talk to the Lord this morning about your life? Talk to him.
Thank you for taking this time to listen to this message. For a free MP3 download of this message, visit our website at www.tabernacleofdavidwc.org. Our address is 9435 Washington Boulevard, Suite FNG, Lowell, Maryland 20723. God bless you.